Hallelujah, Christ is risen. You may be seated, you may be seated. Well, tonight, it's not typical that we would ask one of Pharaoh's soldiers, his horsemen, to come and preach at the Easter Vigil. But here we are. The Lord led us, and so here we are. No, this is Aaron Van Leeuwen, who's a pastor here at Restoration, pastor of discipleship. We're just grateful for you to open up the Word for us. We are grateful. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this most sacred evening, which we celebrate and rejoice over your resurrection. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak from your servant Aaron this evening. May we all hear from you, Lord Jesus. May you fill us afresh with the new life that you offer to us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you're a regular attender here, you know that the last few weeks I've been on paternity leave, and I want to take this opportunity to shamelessly show you a product of that leave. This is little baby Colin Phillip. He's our fourth boy and our fifth kiddo, and he's been such a delight and a joy to snuggle and see his siblings aggressively welcome him into our family. I'm not sure if they're welcoming him or hazing him. Sometimes he gets a wide-eyed look on his face like, what have I gotten myself into? But this wasn't just a shameless attempt at... Oh, this is my wife, Laura. She did the heavy lifting most of the process. I helped encourage the breathing, though. No, but these last few weeks of leave have given me a lot of time to reflect on how on earth did we get here? You know, we absolutely never set out to have five kids. And since little Colin's arrival, our family together has been remembering all the different stages of life that we've experienced since all of our kids were born, where we were living, what our hopes were, how we struggled, and what the arrival of each one meant for our family. We remember when Tegan was born, not breathing, and she was immediately whisked away, and how terrified we were. We talked about how crazy life was in 2016 when we returned from Africa to have our twins here in South Minneapolis, only to return with them when they were only 3 months old. And we reflected on 2020 and how hard that year was, and how Finn and his arrival on New Year's Eve was such a joy and such a gift to our family, redeeming a difficult year. And especially for our kids, this process of remembering, the sort of remembering we're doing, it's not just a recalling to mind what these events were. For them, it's an inhabiting or a bringing into the present of these important events. Some of them weren't, they're either unable to remember what was going on, or maybe they weren't born yet. Social scientists and psychologists, they talk about the great value there is in a child's development in collective family remembering, how it can form a clear family narrative. And it's this process by which a story becomes our story. And as I was thinking and praying about what to share this evening, I couldn't help but notice the similarity between what our family has instinctively been doing over these last few weeks and what we do here every Sunday, and especially on a night like tonight, a collective family remembering of the magnificence of our God and his great love towards us in Christ Jesus. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. And for our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. Alleluia. Alleluia. So tonight we've pulled out the family photo album, if you will. We've hopped into our Father's lap. We're listening closely as he tells us not just a story, but our story. A story has become our story. In Genesis, we hear the great care and the great joy he had in creating this magnificent world in which for us to enjoy. How much fun he must have had as he threw galaxies into the cosmos and he attended to every individual atom of every living creature. Perhaps like a mother fastidiously preparing a nursery for a newborn, placing this here and that there. How he must have been delighted to fill the garden with everything good that we needed for life and for happiness. Everything was good. And how his heart was broken when we were deceived into thinking we knew a better way than the one he had prepared for us. Like our family mantra is, trust me, I know things that you do not know, and I see things you do not see. We didn't listen. And yet, as our grandfather, Noah's world was filled with wickedness and sin and hopelessness, he not only warned us of the consequences of our disobedience, but in his great love, he provided an escape of the coming judgment. With an ark, he sheltered us and he guarded us from danger. Not only that, he restored to us the calling of fruitfulness and stewardship in his good creation. And even as we found ourselves later surrounded by evil and in captivity in Egypt, he heard the cries of his children and he rescued us. He saved us even as we crumbled. And in the shadow of Moses' staff, this mysterious wood lifted high, he made a way for us where previously we knew only death and despair. We were brought into the through the waters and into the land of promise. He was relentless in his care for us. And this is our family story. Do you remember that time that we had surgery? After he brought us out of Egypt, he gave us his law, and we found out that even though we were no longer enslaved, our very hearts were still imprisoned. We continued to believe the lie that we could manage things better on our own. And so he transplanted our heart of stone and gave us hearts of flesh. And he filled us with his spirit, his very life. And where previously his spirit only rested on prophets, priests, and kings, he has now made us a royal priesthood and a holy nation. He is renewing his people from the inside out. His law has been written on our very hearts. Brothers and sisters, God has come and he has made his home with us and we with him. And finally, in Zephaniah, we read of his tender care for us, how he quiets us with his love. He sings over us. Can you see him holding you in his arms? Can you sense that tonight in our readings? Can you sense his tender affection for you? He loves you. And not only what he has done, but what he is doing. He has such a great inheritance for us. We read, the lame will be healed. The outcast will be gathered close. All shame will be transformed into praise. All oppression will be obliterated. All fear abolished, and mourning will be no more. Praise be to God. This is our family story. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Perhaps you're sitting here tonight, and you're unsure, actually, if that is your family story. Maybe you were invited here by a friend or a family member. Maybe you know this story is one of a number of possible religious options. This talk of family is appealing. It's a great story, but this isn't my family, you might think to yourself. I want you to know that it's no accident that you're here tonight. It is not by chance that you're sitting where you're sitting this evening. Friend, if you find this story compelling, if your heart races at the thought of it being true, I am convinced that in our Father's great love, he has predestined you for adoption through Christ Jesus this very evening. Through Christ's death on the cross and his glorious resurrection, he is even now welcoming you into his family. The scriptures say, when the fullness of time has come, God has sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your heart, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. He's been preparing humanity for this since the very beginning. Throughout the scriptures, time and time again, God was preparing us to see Jesus. In one garden, Eden, where Adam fails Jesus, the second Adam in the Garden of Gethsemane succeeds on our behalf. The wood of Moses' staff shows us the cross of Christ, the means by which you and I can pass through the waters of baptism, as those will do momentarily, and into union with him. The one door by which Noah and his family entered the ark, the safety of the ark, is Christ himself. And the ark is his church. I am the door, Jesus said in John 10. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Thanks be to God. If you trust in Jesus tonight, you are his precious daughter. You are his beloved son. He loves you. Before any affiliation, before we're neighbors, before we are citizens, before we are congregants, we are family. And he is your father. And this is our story. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.